Welcome to Why About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill. And with me, as usual, is Patty.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. And today, we're talking about the famous mafia don, Joseph Bonanno.
Who I've never heard of.
She's never heard of him. And what are we drinking while talking about
Joseph? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got Italian wine to celebrate. He's from Italy, right?
Sicily.
So I got Italian wine. Close enough, right? From
for non-Italians, it's close
for
enough,
non-Italian,
yeah.
Okay. It's from the southern part of Italy. It's from the winery's Bonari. I know what the vintage is. It didn't have it on there. Okay, it's the printing's too small for me to read, but it's Appassimento Salento. Yeah. That's what it is. Anyway, it's very red. It's a very deep, serious red wine.
Yeah, you can really taste the cherry.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cold, by the way, if anyone's wondering.
He has a cold, but he can still taste it. It's good. I mean,
it's good. Well, the cherry is really powerful, not in an overpowering way. Powerful in kind of like a nice wave of cherry. That
it is. Nice it kind of hits you in a way. That's really true, and I have to say, I don't know much about Italian wine. I'd love to learn more about it. It's mostly red. I can tell. There were some whites there, but I'm going red because that seems to be the good stuff. So yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about this guy.
Yeah, a little disclaimer. We know that not all Italians are the mafia, and that's not a good reputation of the Italian people. Just got to throw that in there.
Oh, for sure.
So here's the thing with Joseph. Joseph Bonanno was one of the original mafia dons in America. And he was powerful and allegedly the true inspiration for The Godfather.
Wow, really?
Yes. Although we talked about Russell Bufalino came down to the set of The Godfather and gave Marlon Brando tips on, now Snowflake, another mafia don, went down to Godfather and gave Russell Bufalino tips on how to be a don. And that was incorporated into the acting.
He gave who tips?
Marlon Brando.
Okay, gotcha.
If it's the cold, So, Bonanno was born in 1905, January 18th, and we're going to pronounce this right, Castellammare del Golfo, Sicilia.
Oh, that sounded pretty good.
Yeah. Well, so he was orphaned, and he was raised by his extended family. And he and his uncles were very, very much characters. So, take this with a grain of salt, because some of this I got from his autobiography. I'm trying not to use it as a source as much, because it's obviously very biased. But it really gives you a really interesting look into his view of his world growing up in Sicily. And he gives very much a sociological view of Sicily, where the reason the mafia families existed, they weren't organized crime necessarily. And they were just because Sicily was constantly being invaded by Romans, by Moors, by Normans, by everybody.
I can see why. It's a strategic location.
It's a very strategic
island.
It has tons of farms on it. So it's incredibly strategic. It's a great trading port. So there's a reason it was getting invaded. Now, when he grew up, his 17, 18, he joined the Naval Officer Academy in Palermo. And he was kicked out for resisting Mussolini.
Ooh. Good choice, though.
Yeah. Even gangsters don't like fascists, so he wasn't a gangster then. But he wouldn't wear a black shirt to school.
Mm.
And they wanted everyone to wear black shirts. Like, nope, I'm wearing a white shirt. And he started this whole thing. You can tell he's a very intelligent man.
Mm-hmm. Brave.
He's very intelligent, very brave. And not some thug.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1924, Joe smuggled himself into America to start a new life on a Cuban fishing boat. And he took part and became a member of a family, one of the Castellammare clans in New York, because he's from this region. They have this clan because Sicily is very regional in those days, and they consider them instead of being Sicilian men, they're Castellammare men, and they're tough, and they were known for being very resourceful people. And at that time, he explains that being a member of a family wasn't being part of a gang. There were members of the family that were doctors, lawyers, priests. It was more about connections and identity. But it was very sacred because they had been invaded so many times that they had to take care of each other in some way, shape, or form. So it was a kin group and close friend group. And when he became part of that family, he was taken under the wing of Salvatore Maranzala, who was a famous Sicilian family member and a man of honor. a man of honor, what we think of a Don, was more of like a peace broker and influence peddler. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more complicated than a mafia Don.
What would you compare it to today? Or is there even a comparison? Like a politician, maybe? Or kind a of. Mayor? Or
No. No, I don't think there's a modern American comparison.
Okay. I just wondered.
A respected local.
A respected local. I get that. Yeah. Like some people just have that authority and that power that you look up
and
to.
You need that
and,
in rural communities.
Yeah, I get that.
So, Salvador Marzal was a famous man. He was famous for being brave. He was considered a great warrior, for instance. There was a famous swordsman who in Sicily who hated Salvatore Maranzala, and he attacked him with a sword. Salvatore reached out with a knife and killed him.
Yeah, it sounds like a bad idea to attack that guy with a sword.
That was part of what established his legend. So what happened, this is during Prohibition. For those who don't know, Prohibition was when the politicians, rather, decided to ban alcohol.
It's a really bad idea.
Yeah. And the corruption of that ban still leads on to this day. Because everyone could do it. Everyone was getting paid. So they just started bribing people. And that led to this widespread corruption that goes on to this day. That's why the mafia became so powerful. Because they had politicians in their pocket. And they got from this money. So, lesson learned, don't ban alcohol.
Ever again.
Yeah. And more really people actually idea. Drank under Prohibition than before or after. What? You're telling an American he can't do something, I'm going to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this led, everyone was involved in it, and Bonanno had his back and forth with crime. Like, he tried to become a baker, but he was good at being a baker. Not a business organizer, but he came back to being involved in organized crime. Part of it was because of the Castelmarese War, which put Joe the Boss against the Castelmarese clans, and Salvatore Maranzala led up to rise them. Now, Joe the Boss controlled all the crime by Italians in the New York area.
You might be going too fast for me right now, so back up a little. So what happened?
The Castelmarese War occurred.
Okay.
It pitted Joe the Boss Messina.
Okay.
Against the Castelmarese people.
Okay. And they're all in New York right now?
They're all in New York.
Okay.
The Bronx, Brooklyn, all of that.
Oh, okay.
And Salvatore Maranzala, who is Joe's mentor, rose up to lead them.
All right.
And Joe the Boss wanted to be just the mobster king of New York.
Okay.
That's what he wanted. And what happened was he was really just a punk thug. And Salvatore Maranzala saw that and had the brains of his outfit, Giuseppe Morello, killed. And a big thing back then is they didn't call the boss of a family the boss. They called him the father of the family because that was the mentality of the of the Sicilian way, Sicilian tradition.
That makes sense.
Not the boss. He's a leader, mm-hmm. not a overlord.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe the Boss was killed playing a card game in Nuova Via Tomorrow on Coney Island. And that was the end of the Calamarese War. So Bonanno was able to survive that. He earned his stripes in that war and had a very, very big reputation burnished as a result of that.
So can you describe a war, like, in that sense? Is this just like a shootout?
It's a series of shootouts.
Okay.
Like, it's very well presented in a lot of mafia movies.
Mm-hmm.
But a war in that time period and term would be guerrilla warfare. You know, mm-hmm. like, oh, we know where so-and-so is at 5 o'clock. We're going to get some sharpshooters together. We're going to shoot him. Hopefully we'll get him.
Okay.
They used the machine guns a lot. Thompson machine guns were illegal in a lot of states, but there are states they were legal in, so they would buy them, put them in fruit boxes, and ship them to some states.
Clever.
They were clever. And they would, or they just buy them illegally, not caring. And they would take and for those of you who know, Thompson Sharp machine gun fires a 45 ACP round. It's a big round. It's
a big one, huh? It'll do some damage.
Yeah, it's big. And for those of you who don't know what it is, look it up. It's terrifying. And they would just spray bootlegging operations down with a 50 drum magazine.
Ugh.
Hop so back. Just... this is when drive-bys were invented because people could drive cars and have machine guns and go. Another thing they would do is they would throw grenades into speakeasies. Cause,
wow.
Yeah.
So you would sort of indiscriminately probably kill some innocent people along
They would
the
do
way.
It at night.
Oh, okay.
They would do it at night when there was no one there, because the goal a lot of times was to destroy the still or the speakeasy to destroy their money so they could hire less people.
Okay.
So that's actually a really good question, because I just assumed everyone knew what a mafia war looked like. I've seen Godfather a lot, folks.
Who hasn't?
So, moving along. So what happened was Maranzano was made boss of bosses after this. And Luciano, Maranzano's good friend, we're getting all these Italian names mixed up, Messina, Joe the boss, Messina's underboss, became Maranzano's underboss. And Luciano's very famous for being a very, he's the man, he's a very important mobster figure. And when Maranzano, I'm bouncing between Maranzano and Maranzano, Maranzano was made boss of bosses. Allegedly, the power went to his head. What Bonanno said in his autobiography is that he was a great warrior. A great warrior, just a bad statesman. And he just kind of, when you're in charge of all the New York mafia clans, whose power would that go? You know, very few people would be able to take that.
That's a lot of responsibility.
A lot of responsibility. And apparently, Bonanno would walk in and, and Maranzano would just scream at him. And then he'd run out and go, oh, Bonanno, I didn't know it was you. Come back in. He would just scream at anyone who would walk in his door because the stress got to him.
Mm-hmm. But so, he liked Bonanno.
Bonanno was his protege.
Okay.
And probably his heir in his mind. So the power went to his head. For whatever reason, Maranzano wanted to have Luciano killed. Now, Luciano heard about this and in turn had Maranzano assassinated first. By fake IRS agents, because Maranzano knew that the IRS was going to come for him one day, so he wouldn't let anyone wear a gun in his office, not even him. So Luciano very smartly think, if I send fake IRS agents in there. Now, you think this is going to start another mafia war. No, Luciano goes to Bonanno and the Castelmari clans. This is when Bonanno is elected leader of the Castelmari clans. He says, listen, Maranzano was going to kill me.
Fair enough.
And Bonanno looked down and he said, listen, I'm responsible for all these. He thought to himself, I'm responsible for all these people now. I want to take revenge. But I'm the head of the father of the family. I can't get into another war. I accept your explanation. So right away from the get-go, you see Bonanno is in power. And he does the right thing.
He's got some smarts.
He does.
Thought things through.
College educated man.
Yeah, he didn't like. Oh, he was college educated.
Yep.
Where'd he go to school?
The Naval Academy.
Oh yeah. It's a good school.
Allegedly, I haven't been there, so I wouldn't know. But
yeah, I have a sweatshirt from there. That's
the Naval Academy of Palermo. You have a sweatshirt from there.
Oh no, the one here. Someday, I'll get a sweatshirt from the. That's a goal of mine now. It's on my bucket list.
It's on your bucket list. Yeah, I'm going to get a text message. Look what I got. This led to the creation of the Mafia Commission, which were all the heads of the families and representatives of the families sat on. To this day, it's still around.
Wow, it's still no around. Way.
It's,
wow.
It's fractured. The Mafia is not doing well, but it's still around.
Right, I know.
And Bonanno became head of his own family.
All right. He was the father.
He was the father. And in 1931, he married his wife, Fanny Labruzzo. They had three children, Bill, Catherine, and Joseph. And he was a multimillionaire. He was an illegal immigrant. So in 1938, he left the U.S. and came back and became a legal citizen.
Oh, good for him.
smart man, wasn't he? Because that was a big thing. A lot of the mafia bosses, mm-hmm. like Marcello, Mufolino, a lot of them would get deported. Because they weren't legal citizens.
Ah.
They would have Guatemalan birth certificates. They'd be 40 days old when they came to America. They'd have Canadian birth certificates.
Ah, tricky.
Or passports, things like that. And he was only one of only two mafia dons that kept their leadership from Prohibition to the 60s. The rest of the families went through three or four.
Wow. That's impressive.
Fathers or bosses.
Yeah.
Now, his legitimate businesses, they ranged from... Grande Cheese Company in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. I don't know if the Bonannos still own it, but it's still around. I looked it up. Grande Cheese Company in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
That's awesome. I'm going to buy some cheese. I'm going to support them.
To prime real New York real estate.
I'll bet it's excellent cheese. Seriously, I'm going to buy some. I'm going to their website after this.
So in 1963, there's some conflict as to why this happened. But Profaci crime boss Joseph Magliocco and Bonanno supposedly planned to assassinate Tommy Lucchese, Carlo Gambino, and Stephen Magadino to control the commission to be the strongest mafia. Allegedly. Now, there's some allegedly in this because it doesn't sound like Bonanno because he's so wise and smart. But at the same time, they kind of go back and forth. Some people think it was Magliocco's idea, but
you're just throwing too many names out there. I can't follow them.
Sorry,
I've heard of the Gambino crime family.
Yeah,
Gambino family. I guess it's referred to as
Bonanno. Allegedly planned to assassinate a bunch of rival bosses, along with another man named Magliocco. Now, this is true or not, there's a little bit of debate. It probably is true. Now, he wanted to take over the World Nations Crime Syndicate, but it doesn't sound like Bonanno and other, but maybe the power went to his head just like his mentor Maranzano.
Yeah.
Now, but he said that if he did want to do this, it was because the mafia traditions had broke down. And they went from a family that took care of each other to a corporation. He said that's the only problem I have with the mafia.
Yeah.
Well, Joe Colombo revealed their plans, and Bonanno ran away. He disappeared in 1964. So Joe Colombo, another famous mafioso, he was shot famously publicly in the street. And so I'm trying not to mess this guy's up. Magliocco was spared, paid a fine because he confessed, and then Joe Colombo became head of the Profaci family. Now, I know these are a lot of Italian names. I apologize. A lot of names. Now, when this happened, Bonanno's underboss, Gaspar, I'm not going to pronounce his last name, we just call him Gaspar. His underboss was appointed the boss of his family by the commission, which led to a war between Gaspar's people and loyalists to Bonanno. Now, he showed up 18 months after that, after 1964. He claimed that his cousin Stefano Magadino had kidnapped him. So the Magadino was his cousin. He was the boss of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Now, whether to protect him or punish him, no one knows. But this led to a war called the Banana Split.
Yep. That's funny.
It's funny, I know. This wine is really good.
It is good.
Now, the thing with the Banana Split, they went back and forth. And because Bonanno was so good, he wasn't necessarily losing the war. But I could not find evidence if he was winning it or losing it, necessarily. But he was such a legend, I can't see him losing. So, to end the war, Bonanno announced his retirement in 1968.
You can do that? You can just retire?
He could.
Uh-huh.
Most people can't. But when you're that much of a legend, I'm leaving. Bye, guys. And the commission accepted that on the term that he would never again involve himself in the mafia. And this was only possible because of what you just said, legendary status.
Ah, okay.
Because he was such a figure. And he probably had a bunch of favors lined up from brokering so many peace deals.
Sure.
Yeah. And he retired to Tucson, where he had a bunch of land.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1971, he was arrested for obstruction of justice because he wouldn't answer Rudolph Giuliani's questions. That's what happened. He said, nope, not doing this. So he spent 14 months in jail. And he passed away in 2002 at the age of, I believe, 97 from heart failure.
Out of here. Wow, he lived to be 97. Wow, even people that lead clean lives barely do that. It. Wow. That's good. Good for him.
So, amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing.
And there's a really good quote that the editor of his autobiography put in, and I'm going to read it off now. In a world where most of the players are at best semi-literate, Bonanno read poetry, boasted of his knowledge of the classic, and gave advice to his cohorts in the form of quotes from Thucydides or Machiavelli.
Cool. I can't do that.
I know some Machiavelli, but not well enough to quote it.
Well, hopefully everyone was able to follow that, because I could barely do it. Yeah. If you could follow that whole line, you get a gold star. You get a
gold star. The problem is there's all these names. There's so much happened in his life.
So much.
And I tried to break it down into digestible chunks.
Yeah. Well, I'd be interested in learning more about him. I know we kind of gave a rough overview, but I'd like to know some more particulars.
Well, if you did, you want to read his biography, Man of Honor.
Man of Honor. All right.
Really good. And if you read it, you'll go, oh, Max didn't even scratch the surface. The first hour is a history and sociological review of Sicily.
That would be cool.
He just goes into so what did you think of him?
Well, interesting. Well, I think he had some smarts, I think, because he, instead of acting on emotion, he kind of thought things through and thought, what's the best course of action here, and followed it. Which probably kept him alive to be 97.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how smart is it, instead of fighting the other families, he just said, you know what? I'm going to retire.
I'm done with this.
I don't need to be boss.
Right.
I got into this during Prohibition.
Right.
In 1920-something. 1923, I think, when he joined 1924. I can't remember the exact date he became 20s. Alive.
And now it's the 20s again. As of tomorrow, we're back to the roaring 20s. Oh,
please don't ban anything again, please.
No, I know.
Oh, this is stupidity.
Yeah. I don't know what people are thinking. You know, they probably...
No, there's actually reasons for it. After the Civil War, we became a nation of alcoholics.
Yeah, probably.
It was really bad because everyone had PTSD from the Civil War, but they didn't know what PTSD was back then. People just drank ridiculous. They didn't even know it was bad. Well, they knew it was bad for them to become drunk. They didn't know that drinking heavily or becoming a functioning alcoholic was bad for you. They were just like, yeah, everyone does this. Everyone's a functioning alcoholic, right? Right? There are a few teetotalers, but whatever.
Yeah.
So because it was so common, the nation, specifically housewives and reformers, said, all right, this has got to stop.
Right. They probably had good...
Mm-hmm. They had good reasons.
Good reasons.
But they didn't think it all the way through.
They did not.
What happens when you ban something that you can make in a bathtub? Huh. Nothing.
So, well, more crime, probably. More crime. Yeah. Worse crime, probably. All right. Well,
thank you so much for listening. And remember, without history, you wouldn't be here.
Goodbye, everyone, and thanks for listening.